Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, it's Colson here. Now, you're about to listen to this week's episode of On the Sofa, but before you do so, I need a massive favor from you, and that favor is simply following or subscribing to the podcast on whatever platform you are listening to us on. When you do that, it's simple. All you have to do is you press the button and it downloads the episodes of the podcast automatically. It sends you a notification every time we release an episode, and it helps us grow the podcast. We cannot express how much we appreciate all of your support. Now you've done the favor, simply sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of On the Sofa with me, Jack, and Ben. Hello, and welcome back to On the Sofa with Colson, Jack, and Ben. Now, coming up on today's episode,
get some lights, get some. I went, no one can bloody see you. And he went, well, you did.
And in part two of today's episode, believe it or not, we're going to be talking all things Coronation Street, an episode from 1971.
It is,
yeah.
But
1050.
Yeah, before we get
into episode 1050.
Yeah.
What are we up to now?
That's what I asked you. And you thought it was 10,000.
I think it's 13,040.
Have a look on the front of your script.
I haven't got scripts.
Do you get them on your email?
I don't.
No, I don't think it does.
I don't.
I do.
Got the answer.
Yeah.
Oh, Henry. According to Google.
Yeah.
10,230.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Well, the script that my last script, which starts shooting next week, is shooting script 11247. So that is 11,247.
Well done. Two from the top, please, Carol.
Oh, what? 11,000?
11,247.
It does say it'll take 119 days to watch them all back to back.
Oh,
wow.
That's a good start.
Do you know what?
Google's redeemed itself.
I got my hair cut the other day, and lad was like, you're in Corrie, aren't you? Oh. I was like, yeah. He went, me nan loves it and watches it, but me dad don't get it. I was like, what do you mean he don't get it? And he was like, well, he was like, me nan watches it and her nan watched it, but she died without finding out the ending. So why is she trying? And I was like, what? And it baffled me that
what
he was
ending?
Like, well, she never finished it and she died.
Don't end.
I know.
It's a slice of life.
I know. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about right now, because right now we're here to talk about our little own slice of life, aren't we? What has been going on this week? And actually, I want to go back 2 weeks in time, because Mr. Ben Price told us that he was painting the kitchen floor. And we never asked for an update, Jack, which I think was quite foolish of us.
Big news!
I know we didn't.
We didn't.
I know we didn't.
I know. I think it's worth asking for a kitchen floor update.
Kitchen floor update. I got a bit blasé, didn't I?
He did.
I was two in, did two coats. I did three. I did an undercoat, two top coats.
Did you?
Then my daughter went, the classic. I said, what do you think? I think it needs another coat. Looks a bit patchy.
No.
Oh, okay. They went, clear furniture. We're off again. But then I've got a bit, I don't really care so much. I'm just like putting it on.
A bit reckless.
Bit reckless. I've painted myself into a bit of a corner. I've painted the whole kitchen, painted myself. I'm not at the exit.
All right.
I've had to do the slight on the curb, shimmy down. Then I see Star at the back door. She's locked out.
Oh,
no.
She's like that. I'm ready to come in. I'm ready to come in.
And you can't get across.
I can't get across.
And she can't get in.
It's Paint City. She can't get in. I'm going, you have to go to wait till it's dry. So she's looking at me, full paint. I get out, paint myself, paint onto the floor, paint onto the wooden floor, paint onto my clothes. Oh. Then I go all the way round and I go, no, come on. She's still sat there and I go, come on, I'll lift you in through the front door, lift her in. I forget, I leave the gate open. She trotty-trotties with her little feet all over the wet floor.
All paws.
And I sent you a picture, didn't I?
Yeah, it was great.
All over the wet floor.
She fully, no, but she covered every inch of the kitchen.
She went round the sniff.
Full pack.
She went round the sniff.
Yeah.
Oh, there's stuff to get in
Did
here.
Did she have a white nose as well from sniffing the floor?
And I went, and I'm going, but then what do you do? Do you do the chase? Then you've got your footprints plus hers.
Yeah.
Or do you go, no, come on, come with me, follow me. And they don't, they're like, oh, no, this is a good game. And then you got the white paws.
So have you had to do a fourth coat?
We've done it.
You've not left it.
No.
It's art.
It's art. Don't worry. It's very art.
Who painted the floor? Star the dog.
So it went very well. But then once you painted it, you go, you can't walk on it. You can't use it as a kitchen. You can't put any tables on it. Can't walk on it.
Shoes off.
Shoes off.
On the wooden floor.
On the wooden floor.
That
lasts
sense.
10 seconds. Yeah. Someone straight in, chips it.
Yeah.
And goes, oh, never mind, Dad. It's a kitchen floor.
Yeah.
So there we go. That was my big news, the big kitchen floor news.
Jack, you said, I've got a story this week, and
it's
really good.
No, I didn't. My actual words were, I've got a story this week, and it's shit. It's really shit. But it happened, and it amused me for 15 seconds.
And we're going to amuse you now for 10.
It's late at night. I'm driving.
You're always... Are you like a night star? Yeah.
Do you know what? Yeah. I think you're a little... You're an Uber there, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Hiya!
Private Uber.
I bet you, tell you what.
Uber exec.
No. Uber famous.
Ah, that's good.
Yeah.
Do you know in lockdown, I wanted to do like do delivery driving for just for
eat,
to
just
do.
Eat?
Yeah. But you have to have a different insurance. Because it was like, there's nothing to do.
What were you going to deliver?
Deliver food and stuff.
So you'd go to
chewing gum.
You go to like say Wagamama's or whatever.
You could charge more.
Pick it up.
In Shaky Wakey. So it'd have been like.
Who's delivered you, Peter Coulson?
Yeah.
Is that PC what he's Tinker? Doing now?
Would you dress up in your police uniform to do
could
it?
Do. Might unnerve people, especially in Shaky Wakey. Yeah. You're not opening the door around Cassop on you to a copper.
No.
Even if you're expecting a calzone.
So what's your shit but good
shit
story?
Shit story. So it's late at night, I'm driving. And you know you see those people on those electric scooters?
Yeah. The Lime. No, that's a bike, isn't it?
Yeah, no, same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw one of these on the motorway on an electric scooter.
I had
to ring the police.
Oh, right, yeah. So I'm driving in Manchester and it's dark and there's a kid on one of these scooters and he's wearing all black. He's got like a black balaclava on.
Yeah, be safe, be seen.
And there's no lights, there's nothing. And I nearly mowed him down, right? And
When does this get funny?
No, listen, yeah. I put my window down and I went, oi! Oi, I nearly bloody run you over. You want to have some...
Hold on, how fast are you going? Have you slowed down to like five mile an hour?
I'm not going fast.
Hey!
Well, no, they only do 5-10 mile an hour.
No, they don't.
They go rapid.
They don't.
They go and fucking
no,
rapid.
No, if this is a black one, this isn't a lie. This is his own scooter.
I don't know if...
Talking 30 mile an hour.
Yeah, they're rapid.
So what did he say to you?
So I went down
off,
and I've
David.
Gone, oh, so he's all in... He's like a ninja. He's like all in black, stealth. And I've gone, oi... You want to be bloody careful. Get some reflective gear on.
Get some reflective gear.
I know.
Proper dad
listen,
advice.
And I went, get some lights. Get some. I went, no one can bloody see you. And he went, well, you did.
Thought on his feet.
And I went,
thought on his feet.
I fucking did.
You've been owned.
I fucking did. And I went, yeah, I did. And I went,
but I won't next time. Let that be a warning.
Carry on. And he waved like that and balaclava and then cut off. I thought, yeah, he had a point.
Yeah. Let's see how this works. I'm going to switch my lights off now.
As much as he was in complete darkness, I did see him. And he went, well, you did see me.
What road were you on? Dual carriageway?
Oh, no. It's just a
town.
Street. Yeah,
there's
town,
a point you get to. Like, 20-year-old Jack Shepherd is not doing that. if he sees that, he's just going, yeah, whatever.
But he was crossing a junction as I was turning.
You get to a certain point where you start to like do like what age is it when you start like complaining about hotel rooms and stuff? There is an age. Something happens. Something changes and you go, nah, fuck it, I'm turning into that.
I told you there was a guy in my hotel room once, completely naked.
I once walked into a hotel room at an awards and it opened the door and it was fucking Les Dennis. Wrong room. Yeah, and went down and they literally double booked everyone's rooms. Like, it was for like a soap awards.
What's the naked man story?
I'd been doing a night shoot and I went to the hotel and they give me there's your cab room key, blah, 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 third floor. So I go up and it goes green.
Oh.
And I open the door and there's a guy completely naked there. And in your chair.
I've been waiting for you.
But it went green, so it is
your room.
Yeah.
Like you pre-ordered him.
And he sort of looked at me and I was there with my mum. My mum was chaperoning. So I'm a child. And this guy's there, naked, and he went, "This is my room, you know." And we said,
"It's our room."
The perfect English thing is response is, "I'm sorry," and you closed the door.
Yeah.
And we went down, and I remember my mum just going, "There's a naked man in our hotel room."
What did they say? Not ask.
Oh no, no, they were completely apologetic and blah blah blah. And I think they put you
in the wrong room. It must happen all the time. Yeah,
I've done it and gone down to the desk and said, "There's someone in the room," and they didn't look asked at all. Obviously, it happens.
They were like,
"Oh yeah, sometimes that happens. The keys get mixed up.
Yeah,
don't worry."
Yeah.
Well, but that was me. I would be a bit worried.
Yeah. So he was.
What was he doing walking around naked? Just
it's the middle of the night. He'd probably had a shower or whatever. I don't know. I didn't ask. I didn't stop. What are you doing naked in my room?
Yeah, that would have been good. This is my room. I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Naked in the room. Yeah. God, brilliant.
The other thing, Jack, that is your pressing matter is you've been a bit aggy with me and Ben today.
Oh, I haven't.
You have.
So you got into studio today and you were... One, you were late. We skirt over the fact you were late. Then we get in studio, we start getting ready to record and you turn around and you went, "Can we fucking hurry up? I've got a spag bol to cook."
Yeah, because we were meant to start recording at about 1:30, 2:30.
No.
You hadn't even set off.
No, are you mental?
We hadn't set off from work. We weren't here till 1:45.
You got to fucking work. We didn't get in here.
Yeah, 1:45.
You had some free lunch at work.
It's 3:45.
When are you starting your spike? Then you get into the spike bol.
Because I know it takes 2 hours. It takes 2 hours to make.
Are you admitting you're not doing your spike bol or not?
No, I'm doing it.
Well, what time are we going to be here till?
Well, we've got this. We've got that over the ET app.
And then we've got a Patreon.
Patreon. So come on, time is money.
Can I just point out, right?
Oh, Alexa's coming.
So after he said...
I like this.
Oh, let's fucking hurry up. He then, as soon as the press record, he goes... Oh, let me tell you this. Picture got sent. Are we like, he does this all the time.
It's classic Shepherd. He'll go, "Oh, I think I might stop for a cup of tea." 10 seconds later, he'll go, come on, I've got to be home.
Yeah.
And he loves a break. When we literally take our break in the podcast, we normally power on. Jack goes out for a cup of tea.
Comes back in. And you had a cup of tea in Rocky Road today.
Yeah, I did. I did have Rocky Road, yeah. Got it from the canteen.
And you were late, and I've had to travel down from that London.
I travelled down. You travel up.
I've travelled up from that London.
Travelled down.
What, do you know why I've travelled up from that London?
Keep that in. Don't get it. He's tried to restate
no,
that.
I'm not. I'm trying to get you to ask me why.
I'm
having to link myself.
Don't worry about linking. Why?
Because I was at the TV Choice Awards last night.
Great. Did you win?
Did we win?
Maureen Lipman won Best Actress.
Oh, right. Fantastic. Okay.
Emmerdale won Best Soap.
All right, okay.
Good. Not televised.
Not televised. Sit down meal.
Who were you sat next to?
I had Ali Sinclair on my left and I had Caroline Campbell on my right.
Where was it? Hotel?
It was at the Hilton Park Lane.
Oh, did you stay there as well?
We stayed there as well, yeah.
Nice.
Bit dated now.
Oh.
Nothing.
Crikey.
Just,
The old hotel influencer.
Yeah. No naked men in my room, though. Which, oh, no. Yeah.
Even though you asked for one.
Never mind.
Bowl of fruit and a naked man, please. Is that the one that you'd see the magazine by the supermarket when
you
do the checkout?
It's the one that you handed me once. I won TV Choice, but stacked her.
Did I hand it what, to and you? You presented when? It?
When? He presented me.
Before you knew each other?
No, we knew each other. No, we fucking knew
just
each
fucking
other.
Random came up to you and go, hey, we haven't met. You won TV Choice
now. No. Was on the street. On the street.
Was it?
Yeah.
But you got a good memory. I don't even remember that.
What did you win?
Best actor.
Did you?
Yeah.
What storyline for?
My storyline.
Do you know on Wikipedia?
I don't know.
You know that storyline?
I don't know.
My storyline.
I don't know. I think it wasn't that long ago. It was a couple of years ago.
Do you know on Internet Movie Database, there's like categories, and one of them is nominations, yeah?
Yeah.
There's also like in awards, there's nominations and there's wins. My nominations as one and my wins as zero. It's so depressing.
Good. A nom's there.
But they won't all be accurate.
Yeah, but it's... Best Child 2014.
I never won that.
Did you not? I fucking didn't either.
Both done.
But that's
I didn't even get nominated. I didn't even get the job.
I don't
that's
think I did.
That's my one home.
I didn't get nominated.
I'm never
they didn't
winning
nominate
an award.
Kids. They didn't nominate kids.
The podcast, maybe.
Yeah, we've got close on the podcast. You don't think acting, you're not getting
not winning an award. No, not a chance. Best Child stood a chance. Didn't get it.
Is that just best child in the world or on a TV show?
I think it was
best person to be a child.
Nation's favorite teenager.
Yeah,
I won that in a magazine once. Yeah,
what
nation's favorite
Heat magazine?
I can't remember. Got the title of the nation's favorite teenager.
And you never got nominated, yeah?
There wasn't the category.
Yeah, but he's had loads of wins.
There wasn't the category. I mean,
and then after they realised there was a huge gap in the market, they made the category. Where, it was too late then.
Where are all your trophies?
Which ones?
All your awards.
I've got a few. I've got.
Where do you display them?
I've got a couple in my dressing room from recent years. I don't know where all the other
sometimes
ones are.
Sometimes he picks them up and he talks in the mirror with
yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah, to get into
you're the best. You're the best.
Constantly thanking
you're
my
the
agent.
Best. You're the best.
Yeah. Who hey, if Corey won last don't night, listen to them. Guess who was doing the speech? The acceptance
you were.
Speech?
No.
Yeah.
Why was it going on years served and it was you?
Me.
Is it years served sometimes?
Sometimes they do that.
Years served / experience. And it was me and
well, they've
Mo.
Never asked me to say anything.
I think they would now. I don't think they would back in the day. Could you imagine if they asked you at my age to do an acceptance speech of what you could have said?
No, definitely not. I just wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have took that risk.
It would have been a risk.
I don't know whether they would. Oh, no, they would now. You won something, didn't you? And you thanked the Platts. You won something recently or a few years back and you stood up and you went, thanks, and
but
then
that'd
named
have been
us all.
Me.
Yeah, not speaking
yeah,
on behalf
yeah, that's
of the
what
show.
Not if the soap wins.
I was
you know, now 100%, if NTA or whatever, you would be the person to speak on behalf of the show, definitely.
God, that's such a...
Thank you.
Big no. David
be it. That'd be it. Thank you.
Thank you. Watching.
Thank you for watching.
Come here, Kes.
Seeing as we are talking about awards and Corey, let's take a quick break. Come back, find out what's going on this clip here and find out what we think of Coronation Street. What came out of the random generator?
Oh, hello.
Get away.
Well, go
there. You've been down in that London too long.
Yeah, I come out the red generator.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, we're back from the break, and it's a biggie. Audience choice, what came out of the random generator?
Oh, hello.
Generator.
Well, you've
been down in that London too long.
Yeah, I come out of the random generator. Hi. I love that. I like that. That works well, the random generator. I like it. You could do a kind of show, a game show.
Jonathan Ross?
Yeah, it was. But you also went slightly London. You went slightly like Cockney. The random generator.
What came out of the random generator?
Yeah, that's fine. That's you're fine. You're in.
That's fucking getting clipped, no, that, isn't it? Of me going, well, anyway.
So it was 70s Corrie, wasn't it?
That was 70s Corrie. You two found the episode that we wanted to watch, and the reason you picked this episode was...
So it was a 1971 episode, which we talked about...
Yeah, you were born.
Yeah, I was born. This episode is after Val Barlow dies. She was written out. Ken's distraught. This particular episode was episode 1050, and it got 19 million viewers. So it was the most watched episode of 1971.
Yeah.
Before we get on to talking about the most watched episode of 1971, obviously when it's audience choice, we do a synopsis.
That'd be interesting to see. How do you do a synopsis of a 60-year show?
It is a tough one, isn't it? So how do you do a synopsis for a 60-year show? Well, luckily, Ruth Maxwell Hudson reckons she is up for the challenge. She is from Bingley.
Bingley. Bradford and Bingley.
Bradford and Bingley. Yeah, we play them at cricket. Her on the sofa job is she is the head of coffee production on the river.
Shit. Coffee production on the river.
And I think that river. Was you.
What fucking river?
I think that was you because of the Hudson. Her name's Ruth Maxwell Hudson. I think this was you, Jack.
You're bang on it, wasn't
you? It was you.
But have you noticed he's pleased with himself? Yeah. He's gone, that's brilliant.
He's gone from
I'm glad I thought about it.
Thinking it was me, he's gone, that was
that's
terrible.
Shit. And then he's gone, Hudson, he's gone, brilliant. I'm brilliant. I am brilliant. I'm going to hold up my TV Choice Award and say, I am brilliant.
Ruth has sent us a message in, and Ruth's message. She says, I feel very privileged to be able to do this one, as it's where all of you came together, and it is my favourite show in the world. It is where all of us came together. It is very special. Ruth's lasting note, actually, Jack, I think is directed to you and potentially the three of us. She says, P.S., I'm looking for a promotion. I have given you lot so many free coffees because you keep coming demanding them, especially Ben. I want to be general manager.
I think that's a bit passive aggressive. I demand them that she gives them. You want to be general manager of what?
If not, head of grammar or head of spelling would work too.
Well, she's staying doing the coffee on the Hudson River. That's what she's doing.
So she's still in production.
What did she want to go for?
She head wants to what? Go. So she's currently head of coffee production on the river and she wants general manager.
Of what? The river?
Coffee production on the river, I guess.
There's only her doing it.
Yeah, you promote yourself. Go for it. Do what you want. There's only one of you.
Same job, no pay rise. Yeah,
actually, do you know what? The coffee's not great. I'm not getting any more free ones now.
I don't even go to her.
Well,
Pontarelli in the deli. I was only going for the view. Forget it. I'm not arsed now.
Let's find out what Ruth has given us for a synopsis of Coronation Street.
All right, lads, as requested, here's my synopsis of the classic that is Coronation Street. The fictional Coronation Street was built in 1902 and was named after the coronation of King Edward VII. It was first broadcast in December 1960, making it the longest-running TV soap opera in the world. The show centres around the lives and loves of the residents of a cobbled street up north in the fictional town of Weatherfield in a very real Greater Manchester. There are currently more than 70 regular characters, but long-term, the show has really revolved around a few main families, like the Barlows, Platts and Websters. Alphabetical order, sorry, Jack. Many of the scenes are set in various local businesses, including a pub, hairdressers, shops, restaurants, a cafe and factory, to name a few. Plus, of course, Craigie's police station. Fun fact, apparently the longest serving props are Ken Barlow's dining table and a painting of a Boy Scout in his hallway. With its mixture of drama and comedy, Coronation Street is, in my view, the original and best and will outlive all of us, fingers crossed. Coulson is cute, Jack is hilarious, if I wasn't married I would, and Ben, of course, is brilliant. Love you, bye.
Hey, Jack, I mean, there's a lot to delve into here, but you've just had an offer.
Hold on. Did you got that on plus 1.5?
No, had you sped that up, Henry?
No, I asked her to get it in under a minute, and she got it at 59 seconds.
Christ, you know, she absolutely ripped through it.
Does she want to do our reads?
She rips through it. She's
hey, there's only
good.
About one every year, but
I'll
she
ask
can
if
do
she
it.
Can speak Welsh.
Yeah. She got all that. She's right about the painting. I remember that. Still there.
You know the boy. I knew the dining chairs. Yeah, I knew that from the original.
They well, hired,
the Barlow flat. The
they
Barlow.
Hired for 50 years. They hired that dresser.
Did they?
They didn't own it. It was on a hire. Jesus. So from the first show, they just kept it hired for all that time and then hadn't swapped it. But the painting's still there. I've been in the Barlows. The
Barlow's still a weird set to be in.
Tiny sofa.
Tiny.
Tiny. Old, once you're in, you almost enter and leave.
Enter and leave.
Very good synopsis she's done there.
Very good. Very detailed. She told us an awful lot.
Yeah.
I think she actually did a good job of summarising.
Very
yeah,
good.
She did.
Very summarising the show that we're all in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to concentrate on this certain episode, aren't we, Ben? The one you told us about.
Yeah.
Episode number 10,000. No,
1,050. So it'd already been going for like, what was it, 10 years, 10, 11,
11 years.
Years.
Yeah.
So they'd already done. So you have some big characters in there, characters we'd recognise. But me and Jack were actually going through it. There was a lot more. We watched a really good scene, which was Pat Phoenix talking to. Wasn't in this ep, but we were trying to think about what's different between now, and the way the show is now,
yeah,
and the way the show is then.
What did you pick? The things I picked up on were, I felt the scenes seemed longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone says their full name.
Everyone says their full name.
Yeah, so they full go, now name. Listen here, Albert Tatlock. It yeah. was all that,
listen here,
it?
Mini Goldwell.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And is that a sign of the 70s, or is that what Corey was?
Well, I don't think in the 70s everyone used everyone's full name all the time.
But there was one scene in The Rovers that had Eileen Derbyshire in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she was sat in the middle and they were working out a plan.
And who else? June Brown from EastEnders, yeah, who was Doc Cotton.
Wow.
She yeah, was in it, spot yeah. that.
He spotted it.
Yeah,
and
I was
he
like,
went,
wow,
that's
Doc Cotton
from EastEnders. And she was in Corrie first.
Wow.
I never knew that.
And in this scene, she refers to the characters full names and second names, and she must do it every single line.
I wonder if they were just trying to hit home to the audience and really spell out and remind them who all the characters
I don't
were.
Know. What I did get the feeling was you had very, very defined. When we were watching it, there was a small amount of characters and they were all very, very defined.
Yeah.
Betty. Betty was different from Bet.
Yeah,
Bette Lynch.
Definitely.
Very,
Bette
very
Lynch
different.
Must be 15 years younger than anybody else.
Yeah, Bette Lynch, new barmaid. Mm. She talked about what she has to wear and,
yeah,
and whatever.
And she, it almost feels like she's in colour and everyone else is in black
yeah.
and white.
So they had very, Len Fairclough.
Yeah.
Very definite, definitive. Albert Tatlock was in there, wasn't he? Very yeah. definitive characters.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
knew exactly who they were and who they were being talked about.
And you got their job role straight away. You got, you. Is like, was Len Fairclough a builder?
I think Len Fairclough, was he at the garage? It looked like he was at what is Webster's garage.
I thought either Builder's Yard or Webster's garage, but I didn't know if the Builder's Yard existed at this point.
It looked like a builder's yard because it became a caretaker. They're talking about getting rid of the flats.
Yes.
So it'd been a whole thing where Val Barlow was going to die and it'd been a big build-up and she'd been in it for 10 years. So she'd been in it nearly from the start. Yeah. So it was the first big character to be written out. She got electrocuted. And Ken goes off to a B&B, doesn't it? And right. when we saw it,
we think the characters think he's in Glasgow.
Yeah, but he's not. He's in Weatherfield, isn't he?
Because it's that scene where he's laying on the bed, non-speaking, and the maid comes in.
And how long's that scene of him non-speaking?
The gaps. Yeah. That's what we said. Don't get now
it opens on him.
A three-minute scene.
Three-minute scene. He doesn't talk. He's just staring out the window, goes to the bed, feels sad.
That doesn't happen.
No.
No, you don't get those moments. You don't get those moments. Time.
Doesn't happen at all.
I have to say, I mean, some of it was really good.
I liked when the
really
maid
watchable.
Went, are you familiar with Weatherfield, Mr. Barlow? And he went, yes, very much.
But he was very defined, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Ken Barlow was very defined, that young lad.
Ken is still now the man who wears suit pants and a shirt. He still is that now.
But you could, what you noticed was they hit every. So you had the busybody, you had the barmaid, you had the builder, you had the Alf Roberts from the council.
Mm.
You had your everyone. Counselor, yeah. Then you went to Rita's cabin. Well, no, it wasn't Rita, was it? You went to the cabin,
it
the
was
shop.
In the cabin.
Who was in the cabin? I don't know who it was in 71.
It didn't show who it was.
The scene in the cabin, how random, like almost the gaps of them waiting for the next person to come in.
And everyone came in, delivered a piece of information.
And left.
And then left.
Yeah. And it is just passing information constantly.
And Eileen Derbyshire's character was in nearly
every
scene. She'd come in and say the next thing.
Like, was she the gossip or was she the glue?
Well, it was obviously what they probably did was for that episode, it was going to be focused on. There was a lot of Len, wasn't there? There was a lot of Nina Sharples. It's going to be your ep.
It was the same construction of the way an episode is sort of today. You had your A, B's and C stories. Yeah. So your A was the Ken predicament.
Yeah.
Them trying to find
your B
Ken.
Was the sort flats. Of the flats. What's going to happen in the flats? And your C was probably Bette Lynch and what her uniform's going to be.
And so, and the Alf Roberts, he was in, that was Hilda Ogden.
What?
Who was Alf Roberts in the scenes with?
No.
Alf is from the council. He's with Len Fairclough.
Ina Sharples.
With a hairnet.
And she's going, I hear you're going to knock those flats down. So they knocked the flats down. The story office suggested they would be knocked down because they felt they would get more story from making it into a community centre. So then all of them started, a bit like you've got the factory.
Yeah.
They worked out that they were going to keep going, make it bigger, but then also they needed people to work in the same places.
Mm.
They needed people to work on the street so you could always have people coming in and out. So that's why they knocked the flats down and built that community centre.
So they did that for the purpose of creating
more story.
Wow.
So then,
and they actually went and did that.
Oh, they did that, yeah. They did that. And then Len Fairclough became the caretaker. Amy Sharples
so
ran it.
So what would knocked down? That wouldn't have built the other side of the street.
Yeah, there were maisonettes, they said. So they did maisonettes that must have been... Maybe it was our side
Maybe
of the street.
Maybe it was our side they built.
They built our side and then they knocked those down because the factory used to be. Then they must have knocked them down and built the factory maybe. But they needed, they said when I read why they constructed it like that is they realised they needed places.
And more characters.
And more characters, but places where people meet all the time. So the shop's very good. The pub's very good.
Yeah.
The pub. Anyone who's an extra playing darts, full level.
Full speaking.
Darts pod move though, ain't it?
Yeah.
Darts pod's where the piano is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you only shot one way, Coles.
Well, there's no...
only shot that way. They didn't
no
come round.
Wall.
No.
And there's a lot of times where they...
That full scene with Pat Phoenix having a go at Bette Lynch.
Yeah.
And then she's screaming at her.
And then at the very, very end...
Pat Phoenix doesn't get a reverse. Mm. Doesn't get a shot.
She was very good, Pat Phoenix.
There's a lot really where good. It leaves it on just a wide and it doesn't care about how exposing it is. Like the stuff in the cabin when they were coming and going and you can quite clearly tell they're in a set.
Oh, yeah, because the walls are moving.
Yeah. But they don't care, do they?
Well, they're all committed to that.
You wouldn't have been able to tell as much either on the TV that you had at home and the picture quality. You wouldn't have been able to tell.
That's exactly right.
It's only now.
It's only now you're watching it in a kind of on YouTube type thing.
Yeah.
But they were all very committed. So they weren't so bothered about that. It was more the story. What you realised was we didn't know the story, obviously, so we're picking up.
Yeah.
But pretty quickly you could work out what was going on, who everyone was, what their intentions were. It was pretty remarkable.
That's an interesting thing, isn't it, about like soap and kitchen sink drama is because at some point you have to start watching it. And if you decide that you're going to start watching Corrie because of an actor joining it you like or any reason, you're not obviously going to start from episode one. So you always have to be able to, you always have to be able to take it up, don't you, I guess?
Yeah, but what I felt was, even if you'd caught 2 minutes of it, you were straight into those characters straight up. They were very clear of their intentions.
Yeah.
Because you think, what's going on with Ken Barlow here? What, who's that guy? Why is he so sad? Then he's a bit crappy to the people who own the hotel. And you're thinking, I wonder what... Funny enough, I thought to myself, God, I actually wouldn't mind seeing what happened here.
I wouldn't watch the next one.
It was compelling enough to go, I'd watch it again.
I might ask Bill.
We watched a different scene that wasn't part of that app, me and Ben, and it was a scene between Pat Phoenix. Who did Pat Phoenix play? Elsie Tanner.
And Johnny Briggs.
Mike Baldwin. A duologue with them two.
Baldwin... wasn't
run
in
the factory. No.
But he so this is
he wouldn't have been in it in 1971. No.
Year was this you watched, do you think?
I reckon it was a mid 70s, maybe a 76, 77.
Yeah, something like that. And
8 minutes long.
An 8 minute scene.
And it's all her.
And Helen's in the beginning.
Yeah, Helen's in the beginning. Yep. And she goes, I'm worried about you. She won't go to work. They're all working in the factory. She's not turning up for work. Mike turns up and goes, why aren't you there?
Yeah.
Why aren't you at work? And then she delivers. It's pretty much a monologue for 8 minutes. But it's absolutely brilliant.
She's brilliant.
She's brilliant. Really compelling. Tears, how she feels like life's passed her by.
She's getting on.
She's married the wrong man.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. We watched it full 8 minutes. And if you think, that 8 minute scene's nearly half the ep.
Half your ep.
Done.
Just in one scene.
Really good. Because sometimes I think people get the sense that they don't watch it back. They sort of go, they don't realise that sometimes that how much skill is in there, how skilled that was. Because there's nothing else helping you. She's not got loads of shots.
She sits on the couch for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
It's massively
and talks
exposing.
And rants.
Yeah.
And she cries. Pulls her heart out. And Johnny Briggs is half listening, he's half not. He wants her to get back to work. And then he sort of turns around and says, look, men feel the same way that you do. And she's like, you don't understand. You're not a woman. You never will understand.
Yeah.
And it's all that sort of conversation, really. And she sort of breaks down quite a lot. And the shots are quite on her. And
there's one move. And then you think it's actually you're saying a lot about that character in 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving me a whole picture. And then when we watch some of the arguments between her and Bet, they don't hold back. Absolutely.
It seemed as though back then, all the women got all the big stories, all the massive stories that could hit them out.
Yeah.
And all the men are sort of like on the periphery a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Mm. And you have very, very strong women with really clear intentions about what they think is right and wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how things should be done. And every generation. So you had Helen... Gail, as the younger generation,
she was a young kid
coming in. So they could see they were already preparing for people to come in, take over, get a family.
That was a bit I noticed of how young Julie Goodyear seemed compared to like the rest of the cast sort of thing.
Mm.
But then I don't think I also realised that Julie Goodyear started in the 70s. I don't think I would have quite registered
that. For how long they were at the top of... that show.
Yeah. Well, how many viewers did share this episode?
19 million.
19 million.
I mean, when I joined, Betty was still there.
Betty Driver.
So you think 19 million people.
What did we work out?
55 million people in the UK. No, in England. 55 million.
No, it was the UK.
In the UK, 55 million. So nearly one third.
And how many?
So one in three people would have
watched it.
Spotted you doing
or more street. Than one third, actually.
That's awesome. It'll be more than 50% of people watching TV at that time. It's madness.
Yeah, but you were saying not everybody would have had a
probably
TV.
Not everyone had a telly.
No, but you did gone when you were gone to some.
Yeah, you probably would have. But I remember it. I remember it was not a given you had a telly.
No.
It weren't a given you went round someone's house and they had a telly.
No.
Does it make you proud when you watch back something like that to like say what?
I'll tell you what it made me think was, it survived on its merit. It survived because it's watchable. It survived because it was compelling. It's not like, it's just on.
Mm.
When you watch it, you think, yeah, I get why 19 million people watch this.
And it was full of quite clearly talented people. Like,
yeah, but also it's entertaining. Yeah. I'd sit down for 20 minutes and go, oh, that's great. And then you can imagine the next day you'd go, oh, do you see Corey? Yeah, it's a bit like it happens now. It's a talking bit. And you have to... But they really painted characters now, 50 years later, we're still talking about.
And story that you could catch in with quite quickly. Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting how those names that were thrown around in that episode, like, are names we're fully aware of.
I mean, we were still here when Eileen was here.
Well, yeah. That was the first thing. I was like, God, Eileen Derbyshire sort of thing. And you completely, you forget.
And how big a character she was.
Massive.
Mm. Yeah.
Massive. Mm. And she literally ran all the way through that episode.
She did. She must have been knackered by the end. Because we were trying to work out whether it was live.
Yeah, because it almost seemed as
well.
Yeah.
Julie Goodyear fumbled twice, didn't she? I picked up her fumbling when she came into the cabin.
Right.
But I didn't know if it was because it was a long scene or if it just felt natural. And there was an overlap. And there was only one overlap.
Minnie Colwell overlapped.
Yeah, in the cabin.
And they kept going, yeah.
Yeah. But that was the only one in the whole.
And then there was Alf stuck slightly still, waiting for his entrance.
Yeah.
They obviously came round to him. Yeah, Alf Roberts just waited.
Was that all that one scene in the cabin? Yeah. There was that one scene. I mean, it must have been 4 minutes. And I reckon four people came in.
And they don't shift
in
the cameras.
Five people.
So no, see Len Fairclough turn to the camera. They opened it all up in their conversations. Yeah. They didn't go, oh, and now we'll come round.
It can't have been live. We'll have to ask Bill. Bill will remember it.
Yeah, Bill will know. I've spoke to him before about it when it
see him, say we watched the episodes where you're in a hotel after.
I will. And do you know what? I bet you any money he's got some kind of story about
that. He'll have something. Yeah.
The hotel or whatever.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with him, the other day on set. And I was going, how old were you, Bill, when it first started? And he said, I'm 7 years older than Ken.
Yeah.
So he was 28 and Ken was 21, I think he said. And then they were doing Ken's birthday or something, weren't they? Ken's like 80th birthday or something. And he was saying, he's older than that. And they went, no, we've gone back through like the archives. And he went,
but it's me.
You can go back as far as you want, but I'm the only one still here who was here in the beginning. And he is that old. You can
love that.
Whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, that's very interesting.
Oh, no, we've asked archives, Bill, and we've asked them, and they've gone, I don't care. They weren't born.
They weren't there. I was there.
Yeah.
We now, as well, in the green room, we have the picture of the original cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said to Bill the other day, I was like, do you remember that photo being taken? And he was like, yeah. And I went, did you ever think about the significance of it at the time? And he was like, no, it was like in the car park.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, literally, that was just us lining up in the car park before we went live. He was like, it was just, let's all just get a picture.
I remember him telling me they went through a period of, the camera would be in the middle and it would go round each set clockwise, I think, filmed live per half.
So you might have five sets or four sets. And
it would go round in a circle. And he said you'd watch it come round. And he said, if you mucked up your bit at the end, they had to go all the way back and start the filming again because it could only be done in one take.
So they recorded it as live.
Yeah, they recorded it as live in one take. And then he also said they used to draw on the curb. So the curb was flat and you'd had to pretend to stand up onto the curb from
the
road.
Amazing. Is that when it was in studio?
Yeah. In studio. Because he said they didn't have outside.
We didn't see an exterior.
No.
There was no exterior.
There was no exterior. And then he said they built the exterior, which was a big move. That was like, okay.
They've invested.
Yeah, because he said for the first 10 years, I think Bill said to me, he didn't even live in Manchester. They were still wondering whether it was going to carry on.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't going to be anything.
And because I said to Bill, I went, can you name all the people and that? And he can.
Yeah.
And he was basically saying who was who and what they went off to do. And I said, can you remember the first person to leave? And he was like, yeah. And he said at the time that everyone was jealous of the person that was going off to leave because they didn't know what was next and he had booked this next job.
Yeah.
And then the irony is that job just hasn't ended.
Yeah. Which probably will never happen again.
Madness, isn't it? Shall we rate it?
Yeah.
It's an interesting one for us to rate this, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's based on that episode. We're not rating Coronation Street, are we? We're rating that episode.
This could be.
I think if you're rating Coronation Street, you've got to give it a 10 because we all work there.
Well, is this?
We're biased. We're incredibly biased.
But is this it?
Is this it? I would suggest this is the first 30.
Is this it? I mean, it's going to be. I'll give my rating.
You give your rating, then I'll go 9.9.
Then we'll go to Jack and we'll see what he says. But Coronation Street. Watching it, it was great, trip down memory lane. But yeah, it's a place that I love. It's a show that I love. It's a 10, isn't it? It's got to be.
Jack?
I think it's got, it's got to be a 10 from all of us.
So are you at a 10?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say it
until
you. I think you've got to give it a 10 because for how long it's lasted and it's managed to stay, the figures that it's brought in, the stories that it's covered, the iconic characters, we're all in it.
We're all in it, which is the 10, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's changed our lives.
It's changed your life, not mine. joke. I'll tell you, it's a 10, obviously. But what I really, really loved was the fact that that was 11 years into the show and it felt very alive.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell they were being watched, if you know what I mean. You could tell they're in a show that is doing very, very well. It must have been, like Bill said to me, it was top one for like 20-odd years or more, all in one go. Nothing beat it. But I suppose I was really pleasantly surprised about how compelling it was. And you thought, they're 11 years in. It didn't feel like anyone was going, it's 11 years. You felt like, oh, no, hold on, we're in Coronation Street. This is being watched. So, there we go. First 30 out of 30.
We've made it.
We've made it.
It's a big moment.
It's a big moment. It's only taken us...
Are you feeling under?
No. Yeah.
30. So what did we say when we get 30 out of 30? We're going holiday to Tokyo, is it? Are we going to Japan?
I think we get a tour of Coronation Street.
I think we get to play a character of our choice on Corrie. If you weren't your character, who would you be?
From the ep that we watched or in general?
Actually, from the ep we watched, who would you be?
Well, I'm Alf Roberts.
That's good.
I am.
That's good.
Maybe Len Fairclough, but...
Len Fairclough would have been a great name. Len Fairclough. He's always got massive flares. Len Fairclough. Who would you be, Joe?
Pat Phoenix.
She wasn't in that ep.
I'm all about that scene.
No.
Oh, she's not. Oh,
from the ep. Who would you be from the ep?
Albert Tatlock.
Who would I be? Bette Lynch.
Bette Lynch.
I think Bette Lynch.
Not Ken. How old was Ken in that? He was about 39. Well,
I worked it out that he must have just, I reckon, mid-40s.
I think he was 39.
He looks a fucking same, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's done well. Ken, there we go. Brilliant.
30 out of
30. Good suggestion.
Guess where that goes in the leaderboard?
Well,
Top of the shop.
Highest rated ever on the sofa history. Even in Sofa Cinema Club history, when we go through our archives, it is there.
Will we be as good in 11 years' time?
Who knows? Who knows? We'll find out, won't we? Hopefully. next week, it's my choice, and it's my final pick of the series.
Yeah.
I've done quite well this series. I've been up and about there.
Yeah.
I'm second in the leaderboard. I would like to try and
get in there.
Win.
Yeah.
Win.
Well, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to beat Corrie. But I'm going to suggest a film that I think is a big film.
Okay.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Good film.
I think it's a good film. Good film. Like it. Relatable.
Yeah.
I often find that could be
worth watching if you haven't seen it, definitely.
Good film to watch. We do more episodes, don't we?
Yep.
What episodes do we do? We do a Jack's Famous Friends.
Yeah.
And we do
Q&A, which we're about to record.
Yep.
We're going to do a Q&A on Jack's Spag Bol, which takes him 2 hours to make.
It should take longer. I have to speed through that 2 hours.
Why?
How can it take longer than two hours?
It does. You go on the prep time, that's how long it takes.
Basically.
It's like you're a professional cook.
I know.
What I'm trying to say is on Patreon, our paid-for subscription platform, that is a place you need to go to if you want more on the sofa content. There's bonus episodes on there. There must be 50 bonus episodes on there. Hours of content, loads. You get instant access with us. It's a good way to chat to us. Good way to find that information about the podcast. You get access to Jack's Famous Friends, question and answer session, mass Zoom. You can watch all of the episodes, which is an absolute game changer.
Close friends.
Instagram close friends. And to sign up, go on to www.patreon.com/onthesofa. And if you do sign up, you get a job at On The Sofa Land, which is the fastest growing theme park, cinema, production company. Anything you want on the Sofa Land has, and anything you need on the Sofa Land has, including employment. And today,
I've got a job.
Oh, we're straight in.
Right. On the Sofa Land, you know how you have Disneyland, don't you?
Yep.
And you have Warner Brothers.
Yep.
Another land's opened opposite.
Near the Nissan.
No. Another
Near the Reynolds, sorry.
No. Another land's opened on the other side of the road, opposite to us.
Another land.
Another land. You know a theme park? It's called Another Land. No, it's called Bit Better Than You Land. And the head of that land, so they're starting their own Another Land, we'll call it that. Yeah. Another Land, they're starting that theme park to directly compete with us, which is smart. And the head of that land is David Owen.
Have they got anything going on? We can't start giving jobs on another
land. They've got nothing going on.
They've got nothing, but he set it up. He's seen a gap.
Well, I find that whenever you're hit with competition, you improve what you've got around you.
Yeah.
You improve your facilities. You try to spruce things up, sometimes make things a bit prettier. And as we're heading into spring, heading into the summer months, I think we should invest in our floral decorations.
Yeah.
So we're getting rose plants put in everywhere. And head of roses is Bama Rose.
Okay. You know, in like certain offices and buildings and that, we've found a mirror, Audio Always.
Yeah.
There's like the little smell nice
stations. Yeah. Atmos. Smell Atmos.
That pump out scents.
Yeah.
Head of pumping scents is Lisa Beeling. So she's doing that. She's on that.
Pumping scents. Oh, yeah. I got a job. What'd you got? Pumping scents.
Lisa Beeling.
Thankfully, that's all we've got time for on this week's episode of On The Sofa. We're back next week, and we're talking all things Little Miss Sunshine and sitting down on the sofa to catch up with you to tell you what's been going on in the week. We're also back on Monday, where it's our bite-sized episode, where we catch up with you guys at home. In the meantime, take it easy.
Let's take it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.